All right, so welcome to Drupaleasy Podcast number 26. Today, I'm with Travis Tidwell. He is the author of Flash with Drupal, a relatively new book from Pact Publishing. How's it going, Travis?
It's going really well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. So since I'm pretty good with Drupal, but not so good with Flash, I actually invited a friend of mine, Eric Baldwin, on with us today. He's a Flash developer in addition to being a Drupal developer. So, oh. Eric, how's it going?
Pretty good. How is everyone else?
All right. So it's going to be one of those things where as you start talking deeper about Flash, I'm clearly going to just glaze over and Eric's going to hop in, hopefully.
That's perfectly fine.
So we'll see. So. All right, Travis, you've been around the Drupal community for about as long as I have, a little over 3 years, it looks like.
Yes, that's correct. So, I originally started it was probably back in 2006, I think, is whenever I originally started. I actually didn't create a user account right away, so I was kind of dabbling with it for about 6 months prior till I actually created an account on Drupal.org.
So were you playing with 4.7 then?
Yeah, I actually started with 4.7. And started just building a website from that. And then I just kind of fell in love with it and then migrated that site to 5.0 the second it came out. So, yeah. So I've been around quite a while, not as long as most people would.
Right. And it looks like you're pretty active on a few modules, including the Flash video module.
Yeah, that was the first big module that I wrote. I wrote that really back whenever in the 4.0. I wrote that for 4.7 originally, and then I ported it to the 5.0 version. But yeah, basically that was the first big module that I wrote that where a lot of people actually started using. It wasn't my first module. My first module was I was just trying to get views to do something, and back then it was still kind of in development, and so I kind of wrote a module to kind of create a views like environment. And obviously that module just trickled and died because views pretty much does everything now. So, but in addition to that, I wrote the Flash video module, which was to create like a YouTube environment in Drupal. That was my original intention, was to allow users to upload videos, to have it converted to Flash on the back end, and then present that in a Flash player.
Yeah, it looks like that module's still going pretty strong.
Yeah, it's still going really strong. There is a movement in Drupal right now to kind of consolidate a lot of the video modules. Right now, it's really confusing for new people coming into Drupal to actually find a module that does video and try to pick the right one. There's several really good modules. And so once that initiative takes place, I've already told the module maintainers of the media module that I will eventually port the Flash video module to the media module just to kind of make it so it's more consolidated and it's more of a joint effort.
Yeah, that's definitely a trend in the Drupal community of starting to share work with these modules that kind of duplicate features. I mean, my favorite example right now is the email one or the email newsletter, where there's actually a email newsletter framework that was built.
Right. Yeah.
And then different maintainers can now create like a constant contact module to link into that, and they kind of share, the functionality.
That's kind of the similar what I'm going to try to do, just to kind of just go along with the movement. I've kind of learned that it's always good to kind of work with other people who are doing the similar thing that you're doing, and they might do it a little bit differently. It might be for a different use case, but we can actually bring our heads together and actually create an even more powerful module. So that'll probably happen once the media module actually becomes a stable, which I think they're looking to make it stable in version 7. I will create an update path to go from the Flash video module to the media module. So, because I mean, currently there's about 4,000 people using the Flash video module, so it's a pretty big number of people that would need to be migrated to use the more standard media module for Drupal.
Yeah. So let's talk about your book.
Okay.
So Flash with Drupal, and it came out was it like late last year? Is that right?
It was May. Yes.
Oh, it was May. Okay, so
it was
early last year.
The actual, the actual published date was May, the very end of May. So I guess it would be more technically June is when it was published.
Okay, it's from Pact Publishing. So what kind of what brought you to the point where you kind of decided I think it's time to sit down and write a book?
Well, it actually all started whenever I started writing a media player that I wanted to interact with Drupal. That was really where it all began. And the media player that I wrote is called the Dash Media Player. And basically what I wanted to do was to have a media player that could build its build the playlist, build everything from using views, and that integrates beautifully with Drupal. I realized that the power that that you could present to any type like media player, if it was actually connected to a content management system, you can manage all the content within the media player from a content management system. And so that's really where it all began, as I started writing that media player. But what I realized very quickly was that there is not very much documentation on how to get Flash and Drupal to work nicely together, to allow a Flash application to get content from Drupal, from the Drupal backend. And that's when I really started doing a lot of investigating and just realized that there was just that there was something missing as far as like documentation for people who are maybe trying to do something similar out there. And then I got talking with several developers, and they were mentioning the same headaches. They're like, there's just nothing out there that really is a kind of a guideline on a proper way to interact Flash, which is a very popular technology, with Drupal, which is becoming a extremely popular CMS. And so I saw that as an opportunity to actually become published, because what I was doing with my media player, I was learning and teaching myself a lot of new techniques that I felt that would be useful to the public. So that's kind of what my motivation for creating it.
So I'm trying to figure out, it sounds like you found Flash before Drupal. Is that correct?
No. Well, I've always known about Flash.
Or used Flash, developed, I guess, is the best.
Yeah. No, actually, it was the other way around. I don't really like to consider myself a developer of any one of any one type. I'm a computer programmer. In fact, by day, I write embedded software using C++ for mobile products, for displays. And so I just, if it's any type of programming in general, I usually cling to it and just love to learn it. So I actually learned PHP first, and then I learned Drupal. And then from my experience in computer programming, I picked up ActionScript 3 very quickly. For those who are just new to ActionScript 3, it's actually a very programmer-friendly language. I've actually found it to be very elegant and really enjoyed working with it.
I got a little feedback there. I can hear myself. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, it's always whenever you hear yourself talk, you're like, oh, do I really sound like that?
Who's that guy? So what do you think about, what's the state kind of integrating Flash with Drupal? I mean, is it something that's becoming more popular, or do you see technologies like JavaScript and, HTML5, kind of chipping away at, using Flash for some
reason? Yeah, actually I do. A lot of people think that because I wrote a book about Flash, integrating Flash with Drupal, that I'm a Flash advocate, and that's all I use, and that's all I want to use, and that's all I want everyone to use.
Flash sympathizer.
Yeah, it's actually quite the opposite. I love Flash, and I think that Flash serves its purpose, and especially in today's world, World Wide Web, it definitely serves a need for a lot of developers. Do I believe that standard open standard technology will replace Flash as it is today? Absolutely. And I think it will become widely adopted. But the problem is that's not quite there yet. So open standards, of course, there's HTML5, which introduces video, audio, and then there's, of course, the JavaScript, where you can actually you can make things move and make things tween on stage just like you can with Flash. The problem is it's a lot harder to develop. There's a price to actually develop that, mm-hmm. to create the same environment that Flash provides, it requires more programming muscle to create that, to let that happen. And so as it is right now, Flash is kind of an easier way for a person who wants to create that type of environment. They give it to their developer. It's much easier to create that type of environment in Flash. I think in the future there will be tools that will make that type of development using open standard technology much easier. But keep in mind, when that actually comes, Flash is not going to just sit still. They're continually developing and improving on their current technologies. And at that time, they'll probably introduce something even more crazy cool that only Flash provides. So
right, just trying to stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah, right. So I'm definitely an open standards advocate, and in fact, I welcome with open arms, you know, HTML5 and JavaScript. In fact, I'm actually kind of exploring, as it is right now, I'm actually exploring trying to replicate some of the functionality that Flash provides using those open standard technologies, and which is why I can say it requires a little bit more development horsepower to make those things happen. So I think as is right now, Flash serves a purpose. I think in terms of, is it growing in popularity? I think absolutely. I think there's a lot of things that Flash provides that is very valuable to people browsing a website that has, you know, Flash enabled and Flash content.
So other than like audio and video, what do you see Flash being used for the most on, you know, from on a Drupal site?
Because
audio and video are obviously the giant, you know, pieces of low hanging fruit.
Yeah, those are the big ones. And if you know, and in fact, I concentrate a lot of my book
absolutely
on the video and audio. I also find it very valuable to be able to embed Flash widgets in other websites, and for those Flash widgets to extract their content from like a Drupal website.
Right.
I find that very valuable as well. So that's another thing that I feel that Flash provides, that it's really kind of, I mean, you can provide that using HTML, but it gets a little tricky trying to get the template correct and how is this going to fit in their current website. Whereas an embed, it basically just slaps it right how you designed it, right, as a widget on their website. Other than that, I feel that video, audio, the ability to embed, and I feel that those are probably the 500-pound gorillas features that Flash provides as of right now. So anything else, I think it's probably better to explore open standard technology to see if you can actually get it to work in open standard technology. And then if not, then Flash is definitely the way to go.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Going through your book, I think it's probably, you know, more than 3/4 of the content is based on audio and video.
Yeah, it's
there's that one chapter in there about editing nodes and user login and stuff like that. But
yeah, the reason why I really added that was there was a developer need for it. And if I just wrote a book about audio and video, I think I would have upset a lot of Flash developers who have requirements that they're given to allow for like logins and stuff from a widget.
Well, you would have been okay if you just changed the title. Added Flash audio/video.
Yeah, exactly. So I really tried to do with this book was just to give a developer the tools necessary. So, you know, most developers are given requirements from the top down. And a lot of those requirements are from like people in marketing who see the Flash websites that they love and they say, okay, we want Flash and we want our developers to do it. And what I really wanted to do was just to give a manual that the developer can open up and read and say, okay, this is the way I'm going to go about doing this. Right. As of like the websites that are 100% Flash, I'm actually not an advocate of that. And I try to portray that a little bit in the book without trying to sound a little too biased. which is kind of why I spent a couple of chapters on how to have two Flash. The reason why I feel that it's a big issue and why a lot of developers fall into the trap of creating an entire website in Flash or the entire user interface in Flash is because they have no other choice. They need certain sections to interact with each other, and they don't realize that there's a way that you can do that without making it one huge Flash application. So I would much rather, in fact, prefer developers to take a more modular approach and to create widgets that can communicate with each other, which is kind of that hybrid approach that I spent a couple of chapters on in my book. So,
right, right. Yeah, I was going to ask, I mean, do you see any advantages to, you know, using the widgets instead of kind of Flash's, you know, that whole site mentality where it's kind of a theme on top of the content management system?
Yeah, well, my first argument would be the ability for like the browser, browser abilities for like links and URL bookmarks, mm-hmm. because Flash, history has told us, taught us that Flash is not friendly with bookmarking, although there's been a lot of progress being made recently with the, there's deep linking, which you can actually create deep linking within Flash widgets now,
mm-hmm.
but that's only kind of a new feature. The big thing is that I have a problem with the big Flash websites is, or the entire user interface is it's not very, search engine friendly. It's hard for a developer to allow that content to be indexed by a search engine.
Well, but, I think with, Flash Player 10 now, Google's actually going through now and being able to actually, look at the data.
That's actually what I was mentioning with the deep linking, and that's actually just a new feature that's just come about, mm-hmm. to where a search engine can actually go into a Flash application and parse out all the information. So who knows? I mean, you know, I think within, you know, the next year or so, Flash is going to be to a point where that is not the major drawback. Where in the past that was the big red flag that was raised by everyone, is that Flash you cannot index a Flash widget, whereas it's becoming a lot better now. So as far as like the major drawbacks, once that comes into play, I think it's going to be a lot less. The only other big heavy hitter I think of is the iPhone's inability to incorporate Flash in their phones, or Apple's inability, or they just have not incorporated Flash.
Inability, right? Or willingness?
Willingness, well, I think, is a better term. And so I think that's currently a big negative point on Flash, is that, you know, the iPhone is one of the most popular phones out there, and Apple just refuses to incorporate Adobe Flash into their iPhones. Every time they're asked about it, they always say, "Yeah, we're working on it," but how truthful that is, I have no idea.
Well, other operating operating systems have already been able to get it, so it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, and that's another thing is like the Google Android, the new. In fact, I was reading an article today about the Nexus One phone, which I kind of want.
Yeah,
it looks pretty amazing. They are happily incorporating Flash 10, which I think is just a great thing, because Flash, I think Flash is a wonderful technology. I think it's a very matured technology. And you can do some amazing things with it. And I don't think that people should balk at it just because, you know, it's not technically considered 100% open source, even though a lot of it is open source. I feel that it is a very relevant technology that serves a very important role.
No, so like you said before, there's a few chapters in the book that deal with, you know, a modular approach where you have multiple Flash movies on a single page. And to be honest, I've never noticed that when browsing the web. And the first time I actually learned that it was possible was from reading your book. Are there, you know, sites that we've heard of that use that type of an approach?
I don't think so. It was kind of a challenge that I brought up whenever I was writing this book, you know, because I wanted to write a Flash book that was beneficial for developers, while at the same time, I didn't want to advocate the things that a lot of people balk about with Flash, which is, you know, a developer who's starting to work with Flash, and it almost kind of has, it just like takes over your entire UI, and I didn't want to write that's a necessary thing to happen. And so what I did is I started, you know, I'm a programmer and I'm a problem solver, and that's just what I love to do. And so what I did was I was like, well, you know, you can communicate with JavaScript using Flash, And I said, you know, it would actually be a very easy method to just using JavaScript have two Flash widgets communicate to each other as if they're connected in the same Flash application. And so then I just started experimenting, and I experimented with my media player. And this is actually what originally came about. And I guess this also answers your question, where there's a lot of websites using this because there's a lot of websites using my media player, which has what's called the remote playlist.
Right, right.
Where you have the main player that's like in the center of the page, but the playlist can be anywhere. It can be over in a block region. And using the method that I describe in my book, I allow the playlist widget to communicate to the player widget as if they're connected to the same player. And you can also apply the same methodology using a remote control. So, you know, just imagine a TV widget and then a old fashioned remote control that you can drag around the screen, and you can actually control the player using that remote widget. That's actually possible using that hybrid approach, to where these two widgets communicate using JavaScript. And I felt that method was, you know, whenever I actually implemented that using in my media player, I was like, you know, this is just too cool of a feature not to include in this book. I'm basically like a how-to on how I did it.
And it was very cool.
And explain the methodology behind it. So
before we lose too many of our Drupal developer listeners talking about Flash, let me hop back to Drupal real quick. I know Eric has a couple more Flash specific questions for you, but
okay.
So I learned a lot about the services module in
your
book, which I have not had the opportunity to use. So can you tell us a little bit about the services module and my phone, can you believe that? Hang on, I'm gonna wait till it stops ringing, then I'm going to ask you the question again.
Okay.
I'll edit it out.
Okay.
That's why I put mine on silent.
It's my home phone. What can I do? That's my wife calling too.
It's a crazy ring.
Yeah, so I think the 1812 overture. Come on, stop ringing. Got a voicemail. Jeez.
You might have to send me the MP3 of your ringtone. I want that.
All right, so here, let me go. Let me rewind a little bit.
Okay.
So before we lose all of our Drupal developer listeners with all this Flash talk, I'm going to hop back in here and talk about a Drupal module that you mentioned. I know Eric has a couple of Flash-specific questions for you. But the services module is something that I haven't used before that you use extensively in the book.
That's correct, yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit and explain exactly what that module does and what some of its uses are other than Flash?
Yeah, it's actually a very useful module in a lot of applications besides Flash. It really revolves around a new movement, which is having remote procedure calls available on your server. And basically how a remote procedure call works is one application on one server can actually call and execute a piece of code on another server using kind of an XML framework. And what the services module does is it actually builds like a framework and a method for building modules that can create these remote RPC, remote procedure calls. So where you can register like a function that is available to be called by an RPC enabled piece of software or client. And then that client can actually go through all the list of functions and then call your function using a set of parameters. And so that's what the services module really does. It's not specific to Flash. A lot of people think it is because all the documentation that talks about services module talks about Flash, you know, integrating Flash with Drupal using the services module.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You can really use it for anything. You can use it for Ajax. You can actually build Ajax like using jQuery. You can actually build all your Ajax routines using the services module, which I actually recommend doing just because the services module provides some added security that is built into your function calls. And so I find that really cool to not only provide like content to Flash, but also for any type of Ajax stuff that you want to do. You can actually create your Ajax routine using you basically create your Ajax routine using the module, the services module. And it makes it real easy to do so. So you don't have to create menu items and menu callbacks.
So how is it related or different or similar to Drupal's core XML RPC stuff?
It actually uses the XML RPC and basically builds kind of like a framework around XML RPC. Okay. The XML RPC that's included with Drupal is just an XML RPC server. Mm-hmm. But you still have to, within your module, you still have to integrate your code to use it. Whereas the services module kind of does all the hard work for you. You notice that if you download services just as is, it comes with the XML RPC server so that you can enable it. And what that does is it basically enables all the default services that go through using XML RPC.
Okay. Yeah, because in your book, I mean, the vast majority of the examples that you show are basically just exposing Drupal functions via the services module that the Flash movie calls.
That's correct.
You know,
yeah.
Probably the one you use the most is, you know, is to grab this node.
Yep.
There's an ID. Pass me back the node information.
Yep. To just load node information. And I mean, and how simple that sounds, it's actually extremely powerful because it's completely managed from the back end of Drupal. And so you can edit, you can add information to that node using CCK. So you don't have to write any code to add content to that actual Ajax, to that return.
Right.
It just does it automatically. Whereas if you were not in a CMS environment and you have like an Ajax call that's just a PHP file, you would have to manually add those fields to that PHP file. Whereas with Drupal, you can just use CCK and it just does it for you automatically. It's really a neat thing.
Yeah, we also, you and I, we had an offline conversation via email about security.
Yes.
When it comes to some of these functions that you're actually passing data back and forth. And I was wondering about where does the form API token come in? And you explained to me that it doesn't really use form API.
That's correct. Yeah. The form API is used to generate HTML forms. And from what I understand, I mean, I'm not going to claim myself to be an expert, but from what I understand, the form API is used to manage data entry in an HTML form environment. Whenever you're using Flash, I don't want to confuse people to think, oh my gosh, it's not using form API. It can't be secure. Where it actually is secure. It's using the same type of security checks.
Right, just not form API.
It's just not form API. Yeah, so like whenever you're using Flash to enter data, the Flash basically has all the cross-domain policies. So, and this is another thing that the services module provides, which is the cross-domain XML file that basically says, here are the things that can communicate to this server. Here's all the valid websites. And so if your Flash application is loaded on the same server, then it does not allow any other cross communication from any other IP addresses except for your own server. So it's that's some protection that Flash handles out of the box. And a lot of that stuff that Flash handles out of the box is the stuff that the form API takes care of. So it's kind of the same security, but it's just done differently.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Perfect sense.
Good.
All right, I think Eric's got a couple more Flash questions for you before we wrap this up.
Okay.
Yeah. We've talked about your hybrid approach, which I've heard about before. You know, building the small Flash applications, and then putting them all together on one single page. Yeah. But this is kind of the first book that I've actually read it in. And you know, do you think that there's a more of a desire to get Flash and utilize it more in a web environment for big sites than it was, you know, recently in the past?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, the big push has been media. And I'll just say right now that's probably the reason why Flash became as popular as it did.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of its integration of media. And the way it does it, it handles it elegantly. It's easy to develop. It's easy to develop a Flash player using Flash. Mm-hmm. And so that was the big push. And so the problem is okay, so let's say a media site, they say, okay, we want our own custom media player. And so they say, okay, well, we need Flash to do that. So they slap their own custom media player in the middle of their page. The problem was, and the problem that I was seeing was just the fact that they have to do that. Mm-hmm. They're now saying, well, we want to interact with this media player using like menus and all the things that are like, maybe some links over here will actually play a video, to where it doesn't have to do a page refresh. Mm-hmm. And what a lot of these developers were finding is their one simple media player in the middle of their screen was actually growing and taking over their entire user interface because they had to integrate all these things that when all they really wanted was to play a video in the middle of their screen. I think with that hybrid approach that you just mentioned, what it allows them to do is to free them up, and it gives them a technique to where they can stick with their media player smack in the middle of their page, and using JavaScript, they can actually command the Flash widget to do whatever they want it to do.
Right.
Even from other Flash widgets if they so desire.
So in that sense, it's kind of more utilizing the widgets as a theme layer almost, instead of taking over the entire UI.
Yeah, well, actually, what I usually advocate is to use the templates, to use the Drupal templates to give you the block regions, to give you the menu, to give you all these wonderful things that the template actually provides. And if you want something like really flashy, that using Flash, to only use like the blocks. And just create a block of that Flash, whatever flashy widget that you want in the block region. Mm-hmm. And if you want it to interact with other things on the page, then the point of that I wanted to make in that chapter is if you want that Flash widget to interact with, let's say, a widget over on the far right, you don't have to make everything in between Flash in order to get it to work. You just have to use that technique of actually calling JavaScript and using the power of JavaScript to basically create that connection between the two Flash widgets.
Right.
So I actually prefer people to use the templates that are provided by Drupal, and to not design their own template as a massive Flash widget.
Right.
Just because it's unwieldy, it becomes really hard to manage. You can't add menu items using the administrator. You can't add new block regions using the administrator. You know, Drupal was designed to allow the administrator to add new block regions, to add new menu items. Whenever your entire website is a Flash widget, where all the menus, all the block regions, you basically replicate all that in Flash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you add new ones? How do you delete ones if it's no longer present?
Right.
It becomes unwieldy. You have to actually open up that Flash application and manually delete it, move things around, and as far as I'm concerned, that's unmanageable.
Yeah, it's too cumbersome. I mean, that's what my personal side is. It's all Flash, but I was finally able to get the menu system, you know, if I want new pages through XML and whatnot, but it's really cumbersome for, you know, the end user to do that. So
And it just becomes hard to manage, and that's what Drupal, it's all about. It tries to make the life of the maintainer easier. And I feel the only way to have the best of both worlds, where you still want the Flash functionality, you still want to have the cool tweening effects, you want the media present, to basically break out the things and say, okay, what things can I only do in Flash, and have those things and don't be afraid of it, and just build that as a single widget on your page, and then have the interaction using the hybrid approach between all the other widgets.
Mm-hmm.
And in my experience, I've learned that is a much more easier, maintainable solution, where it's much easier to maintain that type of website because you have the power of the Drupal administrator to add new menu items, to add new blocks, and
there's something behind it powering the Flash, so that's, you're not actually going in and messing with it.
And now a cool thought though would be to allow using services to build your own services that could grab the menus from Drupal and populate dynamically the menus in Flash.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able and you have the time to develop that, then I would say more power to you. As my point that I want to make is, as long as it's maintainable and manageable from within Drupal,
right,
then more power to you. You know, go ahead and do it. But as far as it stands right now, there's really no framework that integrates every feature of Drupal as a service that Flash can get. And mm-hmm. so until that time comes, I would say it's probably easier to just make things more modular,
right,
with your Flash implementations.
Yeah, because, I mean, everyone loves the full sites that are all Flash where everything, you know, smoothly goes across and no page refreshes or anything.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah,
like, it's getting all of that Drupal stuff into that. That would be the challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if you want a website where pretty much the entire page is alive, which I've seen some Flash, which what you're describing, some Flash websites where the entire page is alive, mm-hmm, you know, if you have to kind of take it by a use case scenario, if that's your use case, then absolutely, it's going to be easier to do that in Flash. Where I kind of like cringe a little bit is whenever I see websites that could have just as easily been an HTML template, but they do it, they basically replicate it using Flash.
Right. Yeah. Those are all static sites instead of
they're
dynamic.
Like static sites, and they have like static menus. But if you right click, the entire website is Flash.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the site that I'm referring to. Now, I've seen some websites where, you know, like some of the Nike shoe, I think, is one of them, where the entire page rotates and like it's all 3D. And how in the world are you supposed to do that in HTML? So if that's your use case, then Flash is definitely the way to go and make it the full website.
Right.
I don't want people to think that you absolutely shouldn't make it the full website. I'm just saying, you know, first look at your design and say to yourself, can I make this in HTML? And if the answer is yes, then do it in HTML.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely the easier choice.
Right. But but then there will be many elements where Flash serves its purpose as well.
Now, speaking of the 3D capabilities of Flash Player 10 and, you know, CS4 with their new, PayPerVision 3D?
Yes.
You know, are you working on any projects right now, personal or professional, that are kind of utilizing that type of interface?
It's in my backlog.
Okay.
So pick it up and learn it. I definitely want to learn it just because I feel that that's going to be a big movement. And mm-hmm, I feel that's where Flash, you know, by the time HTML5 and the vector graphics files become standardized and mainstream, that's where Flash is going to have the edge. You know, where 5 years ago it was video and audio, you know, Flash is currently coming out with the 3D stuff that's mind-boggling of the stuff you can do, and which is why I feel it's important for developers to learn Flash and to embrace it. You know, a lot of developers shun away from it because they feel, you know, it doesn't abide by the ethical open standards. Everything is open 100%. Whereas I feel like if they don't embrace it, you know, if you don't embrace that really cool technology, you can be kind of left in the dust on what new stuff is coming out. So, yeah, I feel the 3D is definitely going to be huge, and I think Flash is leading the way, which is why I'm excited that I know about it.
Yeah, and I think the great part about, you know, all the 3D stuff too is, you know, the tag cloud has become this omnipotent thing where everyone's like, oh, well, there's, you know, this is what everyone's discussing. So if we can aggregate actual content, you know, to something like that and not just media anymore, you know, then it becomes really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And integrating a 3D environment with managed content using Drupal as the back end. I feel like if Flash is going to serve its purpose, it's going to be doing exactly that, integrating with the up-and-coming content management systems. Mm-hmm. And working better with managed content and search engines. And I feel that Adobe is answering that call. They're making it very, very, very easier to do those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, that leads me into the next thing. Are you working on possibly a follow-up book by integrating Flash with other CMSs or working with it in desktop application environments like Flex or anything like that? Or
I haven't thought about it as of yet. I've kind of had my plate full since I wrote this book.
It's understandable.
Yeah, so as of right now, I don't have anything in the works of creating another book. I've had requests to write another book. And I do plan so in the near future. It's just probably not this year. If it's going to be any year, it'll probably be next year.
Okay, but we can still expect more tutorials on your site, correct?
Yes, and in fact, I'm trying to make a big effort to manage my workload so that I have time to do those things. Currently, I've basically brought on board. Actually, I'm teaming up with another company called Alathea.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the TMT Digital is kind of merging with this company. And with that, I basically get someone who manages the client, someone who manages all the projects for me, and I can concentrate on the things I love to do best, which is writing software and writing tutorials. So I'm sure in the near future you can expect a lot more things from me as far as that's concerned.
Awesome. Awesome. Are there in a follow-up book, do you think there's any other topics that you might have touched on that you would expand upon or approach differently from a different standpoint?
I would probably, if I was to do, referring to another Flash book?
Yeah, yeah.
I would definitely want to concentrate more on 3D, on like the paper vision, and because I feel that that's going to be where Flash is going to just shine in the next couple of years. Is the 3D stuff. As far as video and audio is concerned, I probably wouldn't put as much emphasis if I was to write another book on the video and audio, just because I feel like in about 3 or 4 years from now, I feel like these open standards will basically handle the audio and video content to just as much capability as Flash does.
Right, so then that'll be another evolution point for Flash.
It'll be another evolution point, exactly. I don't think Flash is going anywhere anytime soon. I've had that question asked to me a lot. You know, do you think Flash is going to die? And my answer to that is absolutely not. It's going to be around for a really long time, and I think they're going to continue to come out with some amazing technology that I'm just going to just can't wait to get my hands on and learn all about. So,
mm-hmm. Well, cool.
All right, well, let me ask just one more question before I wrap it up. You know, again, since a lot of our listeners are Drupal developers, what's a good resource, you know, if I'm a Drupal developer and I look through your book and I'm like, you know, I kind of want to implement some of these ideas, but I'm not really comfortable with Flash or own a copy of Flash for that matter. Mm-hmm. What's a good resource for finding Flash developers?
For finding Flash developers?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I stumped you, finally. Yeah, last question. I was just thinking about this because, I mean, if I'm looking for a Drupal developer, I'll go on groups.drupal.org or something. And
yeah, the Flash developers are kind of spread out. They all that's actually a really good question.
We'll let you answer that in a future blog post.
Okay, yeah.
I'll let you off the hook on that one.
In the meantime, I'm your man.
There you go. In the meantime, it's www.tmtdigital.com.
That's correct.
And that's TM as in Mike.
Yeah, or Michael. That's actually my middle name.
Is it? Okay, perfect. So tmtdigital.com, that's where you can find Travis. Eric, thanks a lot for your help. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
If you're interested in some of Eric's work, you can go to ericbaldwin.com. And as always, all of these links and more and some notes from the interview will be at drupaleasy.com. Hey,
didn't we have a book away?
We do. I'm getting to it. Look at you.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Segway, once again. Fantastic. Yeah, Pact Publishing was nice enough, as always, to give us 2 copies of your book, Travis.
Oh, great.
That we're going to give away. So all you need to do to register to win a copy is leave a comment on drupaleasy.com on the post for this interview. And just leave a comment saying something along the lines of, I would like a copy of the book. Just make sure you leave us some way to contact you. A good way of doing it is just leaving a link back to your Drupal.org profile or your Twitter handle or something. Just leave us some way to contact you, because we have had, you know, fake winners in the past where they've won, but we had no way of getting in touch with them. And that
well, they can always call the voicemail too, right?
They can call the voicemail as well. And see, now you burned me on that one because I don't have the number in front of me. Hold on one second. Gee whiz. Da, na, na, na. Well, while I'm looking it up, don't forget, follow Drupal Easy on Twitter at Drupal Easy, all one word. And the phone number, if you want to leave us a voicemail to register to win a copy, is 321-441-3964. And that's a U.S. number. 321-441-3964. Travis, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. We'll see you guys next time.
Okay.
Take care.